today on Real Radio.
There's a demonic aspect when someone comes and says, I'll give you whatever you want. Just vote for me. That's not politics. What do you think about the spiritual ramifications of that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Even though the Apostle Peter is older now, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. As we continue in chapter 2, we'll see how Peter puts the seriousness of what he's saying into three powerful sections. We just finished Eyes On, Ears On, in which we dealt with false ministries and their ungodly conduct. Now, we'll see how God deals with their deception, and in our future study, we'll discover what sets the character of false teachers apart from those who teach biblical truths. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as true followers of Christ, we are well aware of the demonic activity that goes on in this world. We also know that these demonic spirits want to infiltrate our lives and control us. This is why it's important that churches be on their guard in these dark and dangerous times, and that we arm ourselves with the truth of God's Word. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us that when God created the physical universe, which you and I know of and observe, it says that the angels sang praise to God on the days of creation. They went, woo, awesome, woo, let's sing a song, that's amazing. And they worshiped God on the days of creation, those days, the angels did sing the praises of God at creation. But they themselves are created beings. We don't have to, angels have not or will not, have never been eternal. They were created. The word spared here, this is creepy. You ought to circle the word spared. He didn't spare the angels. The word here means, in a negative context, he could not spare them. Whatever they did, the word means he could not forbear. It means that God could not refrain. It means that God could not allow it. And this is going to make sense to you in a moment. I hope so. By the way, I need somebody. Our screens went out. I need someone to yell at me when it's time to quit. Can you do that for me? Anybody know what time it is to quit? What time do you normally quit at first service? Let's just go. We'll go until I'm tired or until you're tired. Okay. Huh. So, notice this. Whatever they did, because this is a big question. Imagine we're sitting around drinking coffee, talking about these mysterious things in the Bible. What'd they do? What did they do? Whatever they did, he, their creator, could not tolerate it. He immediately had to intervene. They weren't chewing gum in class. Whatever they did, it was a big deal. I wonder if we can find out. Well, before we do, the word cast means that he seized them. The word is violent mean. He violently grabbed them. You can't even imagine this. That God saw something that some angels had done, and he had them seized and grabbed and cast down into hell. What could they have possibly done? And he cast them into hell. This is it. Mark it down. I think it's J. Vernon McGee that says that there are numerous Greek words and Hebrew words for hell. For example, Hades. You've heard of that word, right? Sheol. Gehenna, the abyss, or the abuso. This word is Tartarus. They were cast to Tartarus. What is Tartarus? McGee says it's the hellhole of hell itself. It's not just hell. If there's a place in hell that's closer to the flames, it's this hellhole, Tartarus. That's where they go. Listen, this gets creepy. How many of you ever seen the movie, the modern movie, Lord of the Rings? Raise your hands. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's done by a Christian, J.R.R. Tolkien. It's how he envisioned these spirit entities. There's a portion where orcs are being created in the bowels of hell. Orcs. If you know the movie, you know what I'm talking about. They came out of what we would think of like the honeycomb of a beehive. They come out of. These orcs come out of these compartments into existence, these demons. It's fascinating because that's exactly the same word that is used here, that these spirit beings that sinned so grievously, whatever they did was so bad that they were not only confined to hell, but they were actually put into a compartment of imprisonment, the hellhole of hell itself, which ought to open up our eyes to the fact that we don't know diddly squat about sin. How bad it is, how dangerous it is, how damning it is, how much it kills and hurts and offends the heart of God. Well, how can God justify a forever hell for people who just didn't believe in Jesus? Listen, the only thing I can just remotely entertain in my mind is it's because I so pathetically miss the value of Jesus and the perfection of God that if you sin against one who is so perfect and loving, that hell forever is justified based upon what you rejected. It's not like you just, you know, hey, you want to get a free ticket to go to I don't know, Disneyland? No, it's okay. Who cares? Big deal. But a free ticket to heaven. And you say, oh, no, it's okay. I don't want it. Do you understand? The greater the rejection, the greater the cost. We can't get that as humans. But we know that there's demonic activity in the world. It's increasing. It's cunning. It's coy. The Bible warns that much of it will be so deceptive, it will be undetectable at first. We know that the Old and New Testaments agree that these spirit creatures exist. The Bible tells us that when Satan fell, he deceived one third of them. He lied to one third of the heavenly host and tricked them and sucked them down into his fall. Is that amazing? Starting to get a little creepy, right? We know that something of this sin was a line crossed, so forbidden by God, that they were confined into these compartments. And we know today, according to the Bible, that Satan's plot is to infiltrate and control the life of a human being. Listen, and these spiritual entities, this demonic activity, that is their number one mode to work their way into the life of an unbeliever or to retard or hinder the growth of a believer. If you're not a Christian today, your life is open to satanic, demonic control. His control is interesting, though. He controls you without you knowing it, which is brilliant. That's the goal of any power broker, is to control others without them knowing it. That's why I don't mean to upset anybody, but I just want you to hear this. There is a demonic aspect when someone comes and says, I'll give you whatever you want. Just vote for me. That's not politics. I want you to think about the spiritual ramifications of that. Really? Oh, yes, if you just take of this fruit and bite it, I'll give you whatever you want. Watch out when people come offering you things. There's only one I know who offers you everything and was able to perform it, and that's Jesus. Yeah. Be very, very wise. So what sin did they commit? Listen, church. It's serious. In your mind, as we mark this down, remember this. False teachers, false prophets are condemned by God because they are tools of spirit beings that seek to kill you. Spiritually first, physically at their disposal. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude 1, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, poor Jude, I just want to talk to you about how saved we are. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Hello, look at our theme. Contend earnestly for the faith, combat, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this, what's the word? Condemnation. Ungodly men. Ooh, isn't it weird? They're ungodly men, but they're unnoticed. Don't you think right now, let's be honest, don't you think that you can look around and kind of maybe flush out some ungodly men? That guy, right there, he looks ungodly to me. There's an ungodly one. That one is certainly ungodly. You don't know that. They've crept in. They're creepers. Ungodly. Who turn the grace of God into lewdness. What does that mean? God's grace, he's so forgiving. Listen, it's so cool. Look, we can have sex and then afterwards ask God to forgive us. And he's good with that. He's actually delighted in that. That's antinomianism. Did you know Gnostics taught that in Peter's day? Hey, did you know that we can sacrifice our kids on the altar of Moloch? And God will forgive you because he's really big on that. In fact, remember Paul addressed it. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Shall we sin then that grace may be? He said, God forbid. Watch out for people. Oh, you know what? Listen. Oh, come on, babe. God knows we love each other. And what's keeping us apart is just a piece of paper. Come on, let's go for it. God's cool. Wolf. There's a spirit behind that. By the way, young ladies, any man that is telling you that, he wants something from you. And it tells you something about his characteristics. Once he gets what he wants, if there's no fences to keep him, he's gone. You're pregnant or hurt, and he's gone. That's free. That wasn't in my notes. I just thought I'd give that. And they deny the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this. Wow. That the Lord having saved, listen, this is what they knew. The early church knew this. The Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their, what? Proper domain. They went somewhere. The word means they left their atmosphere. They left their homes. They left their theater. They left their arena. Left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, hey, sounds like Peter. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after what? See the word strange? It's unauthorized flesh. Whatever Sodom and Gomorrah did, it was fleshly engaging, and it was unsanctioned or disapproved flesh to flesh. Sodom, sodomy, we get that. Homosexuality, it's clear, plain in the Bible. Unsanctioned physical flesh going after unsanctioned physical flesh to be together. God says that doesn't work, it kills. Keep watching, because the context is going to surprise you. And set forth as an example the suffering of the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses. Isn't that freaky? The Bible tells us that Michael the archangel and Satan were fighting over the dead body of Moses when Moses died. Why? What in the world was going on with that? Dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. Genesis 6, verse 1. Genesis 6, verse 1. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful. And they married, or the word in Greek is took, any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Verse 4, the Nephilim, the word is gigantus, were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went into, the word is also translated seeded, the daughters of humans, and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown, legends." I just read to you the Bible. The early church knew what we're teaching right now. The early church knew this. Do we know this? You say, "Jack, you're freaking me out." Listen, someone faithfully announced that I'm out of time. You need to read 2 Samuel chapter 21. Actually, read 2 Samuel chapter 17 to 21. You're going to find out what's going on here. The Nephilim, the Raphaim, were the origins of the Anakim. The Bible calls them Anakim. A-N-A, write it down if you care, K-I-M, Anakim. The Anakim, it had a forefather. His name was Anak. Anak had kids. Him and his lineage, the Bible says, had six fingers and six toes on each hand and each foot. Dr. Charles Ryrie, Henry Morris, Dr. Robert Govey agree. The King James translation of the Bible reports in accuracy the giant Goliath as being 6 cubits and a span in height, about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. The Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, gives Goliath's height as 4 cubits and a span. In other words, 9 to 10 feet tall was Goliath. I don't believe those stories. God does. By the way, David, when he went after Goliath, how many stones did he have in his pocket? 5. The Bible says when David went after Goliath to kill him, he picked up 5 smooth stones. How many stones did it take to kill Goliath? None. The stone hit Goliath in the head and knocked him down. It gets good from here. David, the Bible says, runs over to Goliath and pulls out his sword that weighed 135 pounds. What kind of a human swings a 135 pound sword? A Nephilim. Goliath was one of the sons of Anak in the lineage. By the way, 5 stones for 5 guys, all 5 are named in the Bible. All 5 are brothers of Goliath. The 4 are brothers of Goliath, 5 in total. David climbs up there. Remember, he was a teenager. David climbs up with the sword, gets it, and just drags it across Goliath's neck until he eventually carves that knife right through that guy, and David takes up his head and carries it around. You couldn't get that head away from David. Did you know that? He carried that head everywhere, Goliath's head. This is a great day. Isn't it a great Sunday morning? Woo! Wow. Look, we're out of time. We'll get back into it next week. This is weird stuff, I know, but you need to know this in light of the fact the Bible 21 centuries ago, all the believers knew this. You and I are like this. Oh, this is freaking me out. This is freaking me out. We're so funny. We are such hypocrites, actually. This is freaky. I can't believe this. And then you go and you watch the Avengers at the movie theater. Right? I can't believe this. Two tickets for the X-Men, please. Right? Let's stand, if you would. Father, we thank you, Lord, and I pray. I just cast myself down this morning at this first service and ask for your mercy, Lord. This is hard stuff to teach, hard stuff to think about, and yet Peter, by the Holy Spirit's power, this is a great part of your Bible. And so, Father, help us to shatter the mold of, as a church, what we're supposed to be like, and open our eyes up to the reality of what a church is really like. A church of love, a church of truth, a church of knowledge and learning, and a church of doing and caring. A church of the Word. Father, today, you know, you do this. You know how to speak to someone who is not sure about their salvation. Whoever you may be today, I challenge you this moment to just be honest enough and say to God, I don't know if I believe in you. I want to. I want to know who you are. If you're the God that this man's talking about, if you're the God of the Bible, I don't want judgment. I want eternal life. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be washed clean. I want to have a clean conscience. I want Jesus Christ to forgive me and to make me a new person. Friend, if you tell him that, he'll know what to do with it. Father, I pray that you'd bless this body of believers. May they be wrapped now in your spiritual protection. As they go out into this world today, may they go boldly, powerfully, and may they all remember that until you call them home, they are invincible. For you alone are Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we could all use a little encouragement now and again. These days, life can come at us from all different directions, but like Peter, no matter what we face, no matter what mistakes we've made, we can still be that kind of person whose only pursuit is the heart of God. There is no true salvation outside of Jesus Christ, but if you're not sure what that really means, well, we're here to help. On our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the good news of the gospel laid out for you step by step. You'll also find an easy link to let us know if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you've got any further questions, we'd like to know. And if you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the information on the Know God tab makes a great witnessing resource to share the love of Christ with others. So head on over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Know God. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.